This is PCJ Radio International. Media Network Plus, produced and presented by Keith Perrell.
Hello, friends and listeners, and welcome to the program. It's very nice to have you with us. We're going to begin now with a piece of music that I wonder how many people have heard before. I'm sure many of our listeners in the United Kingdom are familiar with it, but what about other places? Well, for many long-time listeners of Radio 4 in the UK, you probably recognize that piece of music as the theme song to the BBC shipping forecasts. Now, this is a forecast that was originally started, well, for ships, but it had become much more, especially the late night broadcast at just before 1 a.m. local time in the United Kingdom. There are many people that tune in and think of it as a time, well, to put the cat out and put the empty bottles of milk out and just go off to bed. Now, this service is broadcast on FM, medium wave, and also on long wave. The long wave frequency is 198. Now, people are wondering, of course, how long it is going to continue, because the BBC said, of course, they're going to be winding down their long wave frequency of 198. It will be continuing until the end of the current chart season, which ends in 2017. To look at this unique British institution, we have this story from Philip Reeves that came to us from National Public Radio.
This is a story about a strange institution. The British call this institution a national treasure. It's not a painting or a palace or a prince. This treasure is made only of words.
And now the shipping forecast issued by the Met Office on behalf of the Maritime and Coast Guard Agency.
For many Britons, the shipping forecast is woven into the fabric of life. The routine's the same every night. You finish your cup of tea, put out the cat and lock up, hop into bed, switch on the radio, and serenely drift off to this.
There are warnings of gales in Viking, North Atzira, South Atzira, Forties, Cromarty, Dogger, Fisher, German Bight, Humber.
The British Isles are an archipelago, measuring about 900 miles from top to toe. Plenty of people make a living from the ocean. Wild weather on the high seas matters to them. Yet many more Britons are landlubbers who know nothing of currents and tides. Plenty of them are also devoted listeners.
I definitely don't, have any sort of natural affiliations with the seaside.
Sally Crook is from a farming family in the English county of Wiltshire. Wiltshire is landlocked.
You listen to the shipping forecast?
I do listen to the shipping forecast. Even in London, I listen to the shipping forecast, yes. It is always the same places mentioned in the same order. It is soothing.
Fourth time. Northwest, backing west or southwest, 5 to 7, decreasing 4.
We're a seafaring nation from the very beginning. We're an island country, and so it's all our gateways. It's everywhere that you can come into or leave the United Kingdom. The shipping forecast goes there and tells you what's happening there.
Nick Harkaway is an author and a landlubber and a big shipping forecast fan.
I think maybe for the Brits it's a little bit like a Swiss watch. When you hear the ticking of a Swiss watch, you know that it'll continue to do that in this regular and perfect way forevermore. It's the symbolic British calm, perfectly predicting the sea moving out into the world and so on. It's an identity.
Occasional rain later, good, occasionally poor. White, Portland, Plymouth, Northwest, backing southwest later, 5 to 7.
That voice is BBC announcer Arlene Fleming. The BBC's Radio 4 broadcasts 4 shipping forecasts every day. Fleming says it's the forecast in the quiet wee hours after midnight that has an especially mystical quality.
There is a natural rhythm to it, almost a wave, a rhythm, you know, just like the sea. It's wonderful. It's almost like poetry to me. You know, and I've had so many people write in to me and say, you know, I like to listen to you reading it because you've got a lovely, there's a lovely rhythm to it. And I say I always think it is a poetical work. Lundy, Fastnet, Irish Sea, Shannon, northwest, backing west or southwest. I've had a few cards, a few Valentine's cards about the shipping forecast and things from anonymous people, which is very nice.
Valentine's to you?
To me, about the shipping forecast.
Saying how much they love.
Yes, indeed. Well, there was one just saying he'd gone to sleep listening to the shipping forecast, and he awoke. Listened to it, thought he'd died and gone to heaven. A bit over the top, but how lovely. 5 to 7, increasing 7 to severe gale 9.
The shipping forecast covers 31 sea areas. That's a huge expanse of water.
They extend all the way up to the furthest one is probably southeast Iceland. Now that's the furthest northwest. And then we've got another area right down in the far south called Trafalgar, which goes all the way right down to North Africa.
Alistair McCarty of Britain's Met Office says that you can get the forecast these days on sat-nav, mobile phone and the internet. Yet seafarers still often tune in to the BBC.
There's actually a particular piece of music which goes out called Sailing By. The reason behind using the music is an identifier for people tuning in on long wave. If they're out in the vessel out on a wild, windy night, say in the middle of the North Sea, then they can tune in. If they hear that music, then they know they've actually got the right frequency and they can listen to the shipping forecast.
Back in their beds, Britain's landlubbers slide off to sleep to that same music. So ingrained is Sailing By in the lives of some that they choose it in death too, to be played at their funerals.
It's not an unusual request, which again is another way of sort of strengthening this hold which apparently the forecast has on so many people that they even want it played after they're gone.
Peter Jefferson was, for decades, the voice of Britain's shipping forecast. He read the forecast on the radio for 40 years, then wrote a book about it. He remembers when the BBC decided to change the time of the nightly forecast by just 12 minutes. There were demonstrations outside the BBC's London headquarters.
And there were people even marching outside Broadcasting House. I mean, it was that that intense. With banners, it was quite an amazing sight, really.
The plan eventually had to be scrapped. The shipping forecast is not always taken so seriously, though. The Brits also find it funny.
South at Zira, North at Zira, Sheerness, Foulness, Elliotness.
The weird and exotic names of the shipping areas seems to appeal to a British sense of the absurd, and therefore to humorist Stephen Fry.
If you will, often, eminent, 447, 22 yards, touchdown, stupidly.
Nick Harkaway, the writer, recently tried his hand at a spoof and posted it on his website. It went down rather well on Twitter.
Lloyd Harriet, Papal, Embuscades. Sheepcroft, 4. Overall, there will be some nostalgia fading later into tourism before midnight. There is no prospect of rain.
British musicians have also drawn inspiration from the shipping forecast, says Jefferson.
There's something here from Blur's album, which is called Park Life, and the lyric from a track entitled This Is a Low, referring to, you know, a low weather system. Into the sea goes pretty England and me, around the Bay of Biscay and back for tea. Hit traffic on the Dogger Bank, up the Thames to find a taxi rank. Sail on by with the tide and go to sleep, but the radio says, this is a low, but it won't hurt you. This is a low.
No artist, though, has captured the baffling, mystical appeal of the shipping forecast. Quite like this man.
Dogger, Rockall, Mallon, Irish Sea.
The late Seamus Heaney, the poet from neighbouring Ireland.
green swift upsurges, North Atlantic flux, conjured by that strong gale-warning voice, collapse into a sibilant penumbra. Midnight and closed down.
Moderate or good, becoming moderate or poor. And that's the end of the shipping forecast.
Philip Reeves, NPR News.
And once again, the longwave frequency for the shipping news from the BBC is longwave 198. For a full schedule of their AM and FM frequencies, just do a search in Google for BBC Radio 4. You're listening to Media Network Plus, coming to you from PCJ Radio International. Our next story is also a very unique one. Now, it's not connected with radio, television, or satellite, but it does use an interesting form of communications. We're talking about advertising, and you're saying to yourself, what? If I say billboards, you're probably going to say, what again? Well, there's a very unique billboard at Piccadilly Circus in London from British Airways. And to find out a little bit more about how it works, we're now joined by Dan Hensley. Dan, let me ask you about this, because when you told me about this, as well as some other listeners, I found it quite interesting. Now, if I was standing next to you and I was blindfolded and you were looking up at this billboard, what would you see? Can you give us the best description possible?
Well, you would see an advertising billboard that tracks the aircraft and interrupts the digital display just as it passes over the site, and you would see the billboard reveal the image of a child pointing at the plane overhead, accompanied by its flight number and destination it's arriving from. For example, the screen may read, "It's the BA0234 from Los Angeles." This will then be followed by a message relevant to that flight, in this case, "Fly the new A380 to Los Angeles and other destinations," and it will be accompanied by other information such as the lowest available fare or the temperature in the destination city.
So what you're saying then is there's a child in the ad who starts pointing up towards the sky, and if you're standing in front of this billboard, you actually see that flight in the background flying in the sky?
Exactly.
That's just incredible. I know for myself, if I was watching something like that, I would be captivated and go, "Oh, this is fantastic. This is so interesting."
Yeah, it is interesting, and it's a new way of using what appears to be at least similar to what we call ADS-B, and ADS-B stands for Automatic Dependent Surveillance Broadcast. And what that is it's a way of tracking aircraft so that way the air traffic controller can have an idea where that aircraft is at and what it's doing and what's happening on board that aircraft with the different systems and so on.
So is this something, for example, like this billboard would have a receiver and it would tune, let's say, to a transponder maybe coming from the airplane or the airport, probably the airplane, and then it would relay that information and put it up on the screen?
Absolutely. And, you know, this technology operates on super high frequency, somewhere between 978 megahertz and 1090 megahertz.
You know, what's interesting about it, you think, because this is, I believe, the first time that something like this was done, the possibilities, especially if you're a media company that sells advertising or works in the advertising industry, the uses for it, it is so amazing, because I've seen the video myself on YouTube. Just go and search, by the way, for British Airways billboard, and you'll get a whole bunch of links. And you think, I mean, this is amazing, and because this technology is not exactly new, is it?
No, it's actually not. It's been in development and actually in use now for quite some time.
So is this something that from what you found out from British Airways, is this something that they're experimenting with, or is this a new campaign that they're doing?
The idea was conceived by Ogilvy 12 Floor, a group of companies set up by Ogilvy One to handle British Airways' digital and direct marketing.
You know, it's interesting, because one of the other ideas that I thought of, you know, a lot of car companies, let's say like BMW or Volvo, that have billboards in many cities around the world, it'd be an interesting thought that you put a, the cars could have a transponder inside. When the car pulls up to the billboard, it says, oh, we have a driver right here who enjoys his BMW or Volvo.
Yeah, and, you know, the interesting thing is that if this is ADS-B technology, then what we do know is that the United States is going to require the majority of the aircraft operating within its airspace to be equipped with some form of ADS-B by January 1st of 2020. And in EU airspace, we know that planes with a weight above 5,700 kilos or 1,300 pounds or a max cruise of over 250 knots will be required to carry ADS-B from 2017 and the newer planes from 2015.
So is this the same technology that, for example, I mean, on my iPhone, I have an app called Flight Tracker, where when I open the app, I can track all flights, basically almost all flights flying in the sky at one time. And it's so accurate. I remember one time going to pick up a friend of mine at the airport, and I opened up my app, and I can see his flight was just about to land in Taiwan. And it was tracking the flight, and you can see the little dot moving, you know, closer to Taipei. Is that basically the same kind of technology?
It's likely a mix of two different technologies. I'm going to guess ADS-B and real-time radar that's being shared, although on a somewhat delayed basis for security and safety reasons relating to the aircraft for obvious purposes.
Dan Hensley, thank you very much for joining us today, and I'm sure that if this kind of system appears somewhere else, I'm sure that we'll do a follow-up story. Thanks a lot, Dan.
Thank you.
Recently, there's been a lot of talk on the internet, on various sites about radio, about the voice of Russia leaving shortwave on January 1st. As you know, there was a decree passed by the Russian president, Vladimir Putin, kind of disbanding many organizations and creating a whole new one called RT, which of course stands for Russia Today, which apparently has nothing to do with the Russian television service. But it just seems a little strange, because really nobody knows what is going to happen. There's all these reports everywhere saying it's going, but yet on the website for the Voice of Russia, there still isn't anything. Now, I took the opportunity to write the World Service of Voice of Russia, and this is the answer that I got. To answer your question, at this point, we have no information regarding the complete closure of VOR's shortwave service in the upcoming year. There are certain changes expected, though. Please stay logged on to our website for an update. So in reality, this is not saying one thing or the other. So I just suppose we will have to wait and see. And we'll, of course, tell you what happens for the first show for 2014. Next week, by the way, we do have our annual bloopers program, which should be a lot of fun. So I hope that you can catch us then. Now, speaking of the Voice of Russia, or let's go back even a little bit further. Radio Moscow. The other day, I was going through our own archives and came across a box of Radio Moscow tapes. So I took one of them out, which just happened to be a 7-inch reel studio copy of Moscow Mailbag. Yes, Moscow Mailbag with Joe Adamov. And as he was once known, Karl Yegorov, or as he became later on known as Carl Watts. So let's go back into the archives and see how many of you remember this introduction.
This is your program, Moscow Mailbag. And as always, here is Joe Adamoff to answer your questions. Joe, we're going to kick off with a question from Sam Asbury of Charlotte, North Carolina. What happened to the designers of the MiG airplanes Mikoyan and Gurevich? Were they rewarded for their work? Over the years, have many alterations been made to the MiG? Joe.
The MiG fighter planes are a landmark in Russian aviation history. Artem Mikoyan was the brother of Anastas Mikoyan, the chairman of the Soviet Parliament. Strange as it may seem, I used to meet the designer in the biggest food store in Moscow, next to which I lived. It was here, too, that I used to meet Marshal Zhukov, several times, in fact, after he was demoted. Gurevich was the designer's partner, but somehow he was not so much in the limelight. You ask, were they rewarded? Naturally. Mikoyan was an academician, a three-star general, hero of socialist labor. That's the highest civilian decoration. Their first planes were piston engine planes, then came the supersonic jets. Mikoyan died in 1970 at the age of 65. All told, the MiGs set up 55 world records. Ever new models kept coming out, and today the MiGs are in the air forces of 40 countries of the world, including the German Bundeswehr. The performance of the MiG-29 and MiG-31 at the recent Air Salon in Dubai won everybody's appreciation.
Andrew Lydon of Birmingham, England. John Shalikashvili was chairman of the U.S. Joint Chiefs of Staff. His mother was the daughter of a Russian Tsarist general, and his father, after leaving Soviet Georgia, joined the Polish army and ended up in the Waffen-SS. Did anybody with such a background provoke comment in Russia? What would you say, Joe?
General Shalikashvili was received as a welcome guest here in Russia.
Well, there you have it, an excerpt of Moscow Mailbag with Joe Adamoff. We're going to be uploading very soon the full 15-minute program to our website, which you'll be able to find under Radio Archives, as well as some other Radio Moscow treasures. You're listening to Media Network Plus, coming to you from PCJ Radio International. Well, it's now time to turn to propagation and what we can expect over the holiday season. Here's our good buddy, Dan Hensley, again.
Here's propagation for the week from December 21st to December 27th, 2013. A 10.7 centimeter flux on the 21st of 140. 135 on December 22nd and 23rd. 150 on Christmas Eve, December 24th. On December 25th and 26th, that's Christmas Day and the day after, 155. And 160 on December 27th. The A index is 5 from December 21st to December 25th, spiking at 12 on December 26th, and down to 10 on December 27th. The KP index will be 2 all week long from December 21st to December 25th, spiking at 4 on December 26th and 27th. Sunspots 1917, 18, 20, 21, and 27 are on the sun's far eastern region, leaving sunspot 1928 to the center of the disk. It appears as if we see maybe 2 unnumbered sunspots at this time, and we'll keep you updated on that. No coronal holes this week, though it looks like the high A index on December 26th and 27th could possibly result in at least an M-class flare, possibly a geomagnetic storm as a result. We'll be watching that develop as well. Back to you, Keith.
All right, thank you very much, Dan. I just want to remind you again that next week we're going to be bringing you our annual bloopers program, so I hope you can tune into that. And we will be back for the first show in 2014, and that's 2014 January, of course. Well, I think this is now going to be a blooper for that show. Yes, the first show for 2014 is going to be January 4th. That's the first new show for 2014. Yeah, I think I started celebrating a little bit early. Anyway, if you want to get in touch with us, our email address is mnp@pcjmedia.com. That's mnp@pcjmedia.com. You can listen to this program again, as well as past editions, by visiting our website, www.pcjmedia.com/Media Network Plus, all one word. And you'll find all our programs there. Next week, by the way, of course, there are two editions of Media Network Plus, the weekly 30-minute one, which you're listening to now, and, of course, our our monthly 1 hour edition. Now, before we go, I just want to tell you about some upcoming special events that we have from PCJ Radio International. On December 22nd and 29th, we have added a couple of extra frequencies. That, of course, that is a Sunday. On December 22nd and 29th, you can hear us in Europe on 5995, that's 5995, to Southeast and East Asia on 9335, and North America on 11880 kilohertz from 1330 to 1430 UTC. So you can catch our special Christmas program, which is coming up this Sunday. On the 29th of December, we're going to be doing a live broadcast. Yes, a live broadcast. And we're going to be taking calls from you, the listeners, on all those frequencies that I mentioned. Now, to find out more about it, just go to our website, because the information is posted right on the front page at www.pcjmedia.com. So, I hope that you can take part in our live program. Anyway, that's it. That's all we have time for. We're going to end today with the BBC shipping theme, Sailing By, composed by Reginald Binge and performed by Alan Perry William Gardner Orchestra. So until next time, friends, Merry Christmas, 73 and 88 to the ladies.